Maybe you should go and do some contemplating.
Right reason.
I'm the Bachelorette and I'm rapping to you poolside. Here to find true love. One man.
This is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy. You didn't say hi at the beginning of it. Do you not care about greeting our friends and neighbors? You just assume they've been here the whole time? What is this, The Shining? Are they the bad guy from The Shining? They've just been here the whole time. Spoiler alert for The Shining. Let's start over. The energy's weird now.
Okay. Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
This is Griffin McElroy. That was you. This is Griffin. You know me. You know this. And this is Rose Buddies. It's a podcast where we talk about the Bachelor franchise of products. I'm coming at my wife real hostile this week. How are you doing, babe?
Good. We are recording during happy hour.
We are. Neither of us have had anything to drink, I don't think.
No, although I'd encourage you to do so if you're interested.
Yeah.
You've had a long, hard day.
We all have here at the office. It is Wednesday. I apologize that we usually release on Wednesdays during this weird BIP
time. Yeah, but in the morning time.
But in the morning times. Last night I went to SmackDown, completely spaced that it was also BIP night. Although really, I blame ABC for that more than myself. Because what are you doing, ABC?
He told me, let's see, SmackDown was yesterday, which was Tuesday, told me Saturday.
That's how we do it here in this business, and this industry. It just moves so fast. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have 3 hours of Bachelor in Paradise to talk about. I heard a rumor. I got caught up on BIP. I heard a rumor that you still watch that Bachelor after show.
I did.
Was it better this time?
Well, I kept switching over to the Olympics to see if the Olympics had something to offer me, and it was track and field, which I'm not as interested in.
Interesting.
So
you missed the pole vault then.
Switching back.
There were some good events, good things that happened at the pole vault. New world record was broken. Also, a man's dick bone.
But yeah, I did watch the after show. The after show was not as offensive.
That's good.
But still was a little offensive.
Well, that's good. That's, I guess. Yeah, we saw a lot of people like talk about how different things that they were upset by in these two episodes of Bachelor in Paradise. And I watched them, and I want to get it across. I feel like we need to all sort of sit down and calibrate. Because this is the usual amount of crap.
Yeah.
These two episodes, I actually enjoyed quite a bit. And there was certainly some rough stuff in it. But this is what we get.
Yeah. Now. Bachelor in Paradise this week was like classic Coca-Cola. You know? It was like real sugar, all sugar.
All sugar all the time.
And I get that that's not to everybody's taste. But this is how the show is in its best form.
Yeah. Well, so. If not its best form, it's standard form. But let's dive right in. Let's get
I would say we were pretty delighted with this week.
I enjoyed it very much. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a show that I would let date my best friend.
No.
But it's a show.
God, no.
That I would spend a few hours a week with, which is what we're doing.
Yeah. I cautiously watch. If this show is a human, I would cautiously watch them from afar. Which is creepy, but
would you let this show, for example, would you trust them to water our lawn when we were out of town?
No, I would fake two different injuries in order to spend some time with this show. That was an Evan joke. Let's dive right into the things that happened because they need to be cracked just wide open.
So there were a lot of, one thing I wanted to call out that we like about this show is in the beginning of Monday night's episode, they made a lot of just erection and ejaculation jokes.
Like nonstop, like Evan's going in to try and steal away Amanda. Can he keep it up for that? Like,
yeah,
so like
just
five
like
in
things
a row.
Are about to explode on Bachelor in Paradise. Evan's really in a hard spot. Let's hope he doesn't suffer from a premature ejection.
Oh,
and it was just, you know, we just giggled the whole time. It was just delightful.
Come along, everybody, and watch this episode of Bachelor in Paradise.
So the episode picks up with Evan going to Amanda and Josh with his fake date card to interrupt them.
And it also comes back with me just sort of a bag of skin, just looking out the window at my skeleton as it crosses the state line into Oklahoma.
My favorite part that we got this week was as he's going to interrupt them, Vinny and Izzy are kind of mid piggyback ride, just like frozen, just like
everybody stops and stares. Yeah.
She is on his back and they just stop on their way up the beach and just stare at what is happening.
I don't know if it was you last week or one of the Rosebuds themselves in the group, in the Facebook group. Which, by the way, I'm pretty sure they broke Facebook during this episode, like something like 2,000 comments, like y'all are the best.
Yeah.
But Josh's groans and moans and animal noises that he makes when he kisses or eats, is that became actually the first sort of official rule in our drinking game. Every time Josh gives us just one of those, you gotta sip. You gots to sip.
Yeah, because now it's something that we know is going to happen.
And they're definitely a guarantee. Like, it's definitely an edit, right? But like, they got to have something to edit with. And I've heard at least five or six different discrete pleasure moans.
Yes, that it's not the same moan every time.
Yeah.
The reason I included Vinny and Izzy is because Vinny tells us, the viewer on camera, he says, "I wish Evan would just stop being the awkward dick doctor."
Yeah.
So that was a nice, succinct way to phrase it.
Boy.
Evan comes up and says, he says his little date card piece, and then tells Amanda that he has, quote, been watching her from afar.
Great.
And that, you know, he's wanted to get to know her better.
Mm-hmm. He came here for her, he says.
Yes, which we don't really believe, but okay. What's fun about this is when we really felt like now they're hitting their stride again, is while he's talking to Amanda, we see Josh enjoying a pizza pie.
An entire pizza pie. And he talks about how the pizza in Mexico is like on point, and it's like that hasn't been my experience.
No,
so
and it,
much.
It appeared to be just a frozen pizza. Like, it appeared to be just a kind of pizza that you could get in the freezer section.
I heard some scuttlebutt from somebody who said that apparently in the first BIP, they just had to eat, like, catering or something, and it was, like, miserable. And now, in seasons 2 and 3, they get, like, food from the resort, and it's much, much better. And so, like, the food situation has improved drastically in BIP. And so maybe it was that good resort pizza. I don't know.
Oh, you know what I did learn on the after show, though?
What did you
learn? There is no air conditioning.
Can't do it. Won't do it.
Yeah. So none of the rooms have air conditioning.
Why?
So they reference that Carly may have enjoyed the hospital date so much that she has later with Evan because there's air conditioning.
You just ruined that there's going to be a hospital date.
Yeah.
Which is like a whole nother kettle of fish.
Anyway.
I wouldn't do it, man. Are you kidding? No. In Mexico? That would be that would be very warm and steamy. Okay. Anyway.
And so we hear a lot of Josh talk about the pizza, about he just likes a regular cheese pizza.
God knows the truth about him and this pizza. That's all I know.
Yeah. And he just continues to eat it while Amanda and Evan talk. So Amanda makes pretty clear she's not interested in Evan. Says that she really wants to focus on Josh, but then she starts crying a little bit, saying like she feels so bad because Evan's such a good guy. And then Evan tells us, the viewer, that he got maybe a glimmer of hope from
that.
He says,
that's about what I wanted from that conversation. Ah, dang, Evan, that ain't good.
Yeah, and this is when you feel like, and I don't know if you know this guy, but I feel like I know this guy.
Oh, dude, there's some stuff that happens in this episode that made me think, like, I was this guy, but, like, in high school a bit.
Well, because she's not mean to him.
No.
She just says, I'm focusing on Josh right now, which should be clear, but the fact that she's not cruel makes him say, maybe.
I mean, all that aside, like, before this conversation even happened, she was making out with another dude. And this was not, like, some of that, again, is the edit of making it seem like Josh and her are attached at the uvula. That's definitely part of the edit, but this wasn't. She and Josh were macking, and homeboy walks up with a homemade date card. How did you think that was going to go?
Yeah. Yeah, Evan kind of saw it as his take charge moment, but literally everybody else in the universe saw it as just a poorly advised,
just a bad sort of set of decisions.
So Amanda goes back to Josh and is really candid and says, "Oh, he just seems like such a nice guy, but I'm just not interested, and I feel bad." And
Josh is just slobbering down pizza while
Josh is still eating pizza. And he's just like, oh, you're in such high demand. Goodness. Kind of like doing this thing like, I'm cool with this, but also like, oh, look at me with my
yeah, you could tell
wanted lady.
The white hot rage slash like gross possession.
And then Evan kind of debriefs with Jared about his experience chasing Amanda. And then we look over their shoulder and that's where we see the pizza moon.
It was stupid.
It was the moon in the sky made to look like a pizza.
Except it was a whole pizza. And when that pizza was brought to Josh, there was a slice already missing. And that probably took me out of the, like, paying attention to the show for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, you're right.
How did this happen?
What is that?
Who did this?
Maybe he sat down to eat the pizza and they left the table and he sent a production assistant to go get the rest of the pizza.
Or maybe it's you leave one for Elijah. You know how they do that sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
They just like leave a piece of pizza out for Elijah.
For the Mexico beach guest.
For Mexican Passover.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a thing that they do. It's an unleavened crust. It did look like thin crust, so could have been unleavened. We don't know. Is cheese good to go? That's kosher, right?
Yeah.
Is it, though?
I don't know.
You don't know,
I'm not 100%, and I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't remember eating cheese at Seder before.
So this is, speaking of getting up for food, I don't know.
No, that's
anyway,
not a good segue.
This is the point in the show when I asked you to take notes because I was going to get myself some dinner.
Oh, yeah, we're
going to
get that
El
Pollo Regio.
You wrote down Daniel shaves Vinny's back, thoroughly.
Yeah, like Dan, they're looking for this razor. I think the ladies are looking for a razor, and it's revealed that Danny has it, and he is just shaving the hell out of Vinny's back, getting him smooth.
Does
like
Vinny
a dolphin
seem
back
to
there.
Be a hairy person?
No, but well, I don't know, because Daniel says why didn't you do this before you came here? And Vinny says, I did. That's just how fast it grows back. But I didn't even think. I mean, when you look at Vinny, he doesn't seem that
hairy.
So maybe it's just
although
the standards
he is a barber, so maybe he just is really intense about his grooming.
Maybe,
but yeah, he doesn't seem like somebody who would be very furry.
He's not. I don't think he is. I think it's just this show. Is anybody especially furry on this show? No, and I think everybody's just trying to stay on par.
Josh might be.
Josh, I don't
know.
He's
very dark.
He's dark.
Complected.
He probably has, like, yeah.
And you can tell he puts a lot of work into his eyebrows.
All I'm saying is Daniel sets a tone, and that is perfectly hairless, like the Oscar statue.
During Andy's season, I remember becoming distracted by how manicured Josh's eyebrows were. This season, I haven't noticed it as much.
But I think they have to be. I think that's, like, work that he has to put in every single morning.
Mm-hmm.
Hard work.
It is time for the cocktail party. Does that sound right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, we're about 12 minutes into the episode. It seems right to me.
Yeah, he comes out. Chris Harrison comes out in a nice beige suit.
He's looking good. Can I say something, Chris H? When you put in the effort, bud, mm-hmm. You look good, man.
I know. And the reason I know it's a cocktail party is that I wrote down Sweaty Josh.
Sweaty Josh. Oh, my God. And Chris Harrison, like, lays him out for it. Like, good Lord, man. What happened to you?
He's in this, like, white linen shirt, which, you know, most people choose on the beach because it is a very breathable, light fabric. He is drenched.
It's like that white fabric shirt is like a napkin that you put on some, like, your pizza, on the top of the pizza to, like, get it degreased, and then that napkin is completely see-through. That's about what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Everybody's so dry. You, like, everybody else is mostly dry, and this dude is just collapsing like that one guy in, I think, X-Men 2, when he just, like, turns into water right there in the doctor's office, and he turns
or to, like, Alex Mack.
Like Alex Mack. It's an Alex Mack situation. It's a much better one. Much more relatable. He says to
Chris.
Amanda. He says to Amanda, like, it's really hot. And she's like, yeah, it's really hot. She is completely dry, completely flawless.
Well, and she's sitting right next to him, and I just feel so bad. As much as you like a person, and yeah, she clearly likes him very much.
You don't want that.
I don't think you want that.
You don't
want
to get them on you.
No.
To take with you parts of them.
Yeah. So where we left off last week, Christian and Daniel were kind of in a competition for Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
So this cocktail party is an opportunity kind of for them to make their case because the women are in charge. So Christian pulls her aside and they talk about how great their date was. And then Daniel interrupts. And she starts talking about how much he makes her smile. And then she tells us, the viewer, that they have not kissed yet.
Yeah.
So in this moment, and it's really kind of a sweet moment.
He's a sweet boy. I don't know what you want.
He talks about how excited he is and he makes his leg kind of shake like a dog that he's so excited.
Yeah.
And then a bee stings him on the face.
I forgot.
Yeah.
And she pulls the stinger out of his face.
Yeah.
That's love.
Yeah. And then they do kiss. And then Sarah tells us that it was, quote, wasn't the best kiss.
Well, you know what? It was his first time doing it to any person ever. So why don't you cut him a little bit of slack? I'm saying that was the first kiss he's ever had.
Griffin, have you in your romantic life had a lot of bad kisses?
Define had. Like, have I distributed any? I like to think no.
No, I'm saying, have you left a scenario and thought that person is not a good kisser? Because I can only maybe think of one time.
Yeah, I can think of one.
It is
a big bummer.
It's a huge bummer.
I had a friend, I'm not going to name names, but I had a friend who was known to kind of like pursue women, not in like a necessarily creepy way, but just like once they liked somebody, they were very single-minded about it, and they would get very attached very quickly. And then they finally went on a date with that person, and they kissed, and it was like so bad that they dropped the case. Oh, no. I'm saying this, it sounds like I'm talking about me. It super wasn't me. I can think of one time that it happened, and I think it may have actually...
Was that for you?
May have been a sign, yeah.
So then you just tapped
out? It could
have
been my fault, too. It could just be... Some people are just incompatible.
I just mentioned that because Carly said the thing about Evan, and then Sarah said the thing about Daniel, and it just makes me wonder about all these adult men who are still just...
It could be an incompatibility issue, though. Like, you come at a person, you don't know... Well, there's so many variables. How wide is my mouth going to be? How open is the mouth going to be?
Saying if they're the right people, they calibrate quickly?
I'm saying everybody has, like, a set range of numbers that they use vis-a-vis width, depth, height, moisture.
You don't think some people are just force. Objectively good kissers how many and objectively Newton, bad kissers?
How many newtons of force are you applying to the kiss? Like, it's a touchy thing. Everybody figures out how to kiss. Like, everybody learns how they do kiss. And so, like, I think if the two are really, really different, if you get a small mouther and a big mouther together, like, that's going to be a bad time. I'm serious. That's got to be a real thing. It's got to be a real thing.
Yeah, it's like, who would be a small mouther, though?
There are people who think, like, that's how you do it. You make your lips real firm, real small, and you just get in there. And, and some people come at you like, you know?
Yeah. No.
Josh and Amanda.
They're both big mouthers.
They both do it the same way.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, they like doing it very much. I think it's because they found, like, kind of a mirror in the other person.
And so, cocktail party... We're kind of closing the loop on a lot of stuff from last week. So the twins are still upset that Brandon couldn't discern between the two of them. And so there's some question about whether Brandon will get a rose.
Yeah. Nick is very distraught.
He is. Yeah. He doesn't know who could possibly pick him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a connection.
It's crazy.
There.
You know, like, it's Nick.
I know.
Runner up.
It's like super... fan favorite.
Yeah, professional runner-up Nick. He's at least got to come in second.
Yeah. So then we cut to Josh and Amanda that are making out again, and then Evan interrupts a second time.
Just going to pop in real quick.
And this is when Evan loses some ground with us because he interrupts, and this time he wants to warn Amanda about Josh. And
because we're such good friends. You're a friend to me now.
Yeah. Now that we're friends,
I do want to let you know that this book says some bad stuff about Josh.
And it just and good on him,
yeah,
you know, as a friend.
The book does say some pretty bad stuff.
But it seems pretty transparent that he made a play for Amanda.
For sure.
It didn't go where he thought it went.
And we get the behind the scenes like interview part where he says, like, well, since I've been friend zoned by Amanda, and it's like, but that's it. Like, boop, you're up, you're gone. I got friend zoned by her. Like, this whole time, this show has been so unconcerned with telling us what Amanda, like, who Amanda likes. I mean, clearly it's Josh, right? Like, or else why would she be spending so much time with him? But then to have Evan be like, well, she friend zoned me. I got friend zoned. Such the fucking dumb. So I put Evan in my mental garbage can at that point.
Yeah, like I feel like Evan, there's a lot that's sympathetic about him.
Sure. I people have been posting his tweets in the Rose Buddies group, and like,
he's a funny guy.
Yeah, he says some funny stuff, and like, he's a big Jubilee fan, you know, I'm a fan of that, but like, on this show, there is some real, like, piss kid to the max, like, dictionary definition stuff.
Yeah, and so Evan goes to talk to... to Amanda.
What happens is Amanda gets upset about this and talks to some other folks about these revelations, including Lace. And then Lace is telling somebody else, like, yeah, apparently Evan went to Amanda and just like told her all this stuff.
Lace
about
is
Josh
telling Grant.
Just like dumping all this stuff on Grant. And she looks behind her and Josh is sitting immediately behind her. She's like, oh, sorry, I didn't know you were there.
Well, it was weird is when they pan the camera back. So the camera is zoomed in on Lace and Grant. And Lace is just like, oh man, you wouldn't believe it. Evan went to go warn Amanda about Josh and say all these things about how he was abusive. And then they pan the camera out. Because Grant says, oh, well, I'm going to talk to Josh about that. Pan it out. Josh is sitting right next to Grant. And she, like, moves her
head, like 1 degree to the left.
And it's like, oh.
Oh, sorry, bud.
Oh, you're right there.
And this sets off a, like...
Which makes you wonder, did Josh, like, sidle up and sit down without Lace noticing?
His name in somebody's mouth. I don't know. But this kicks off a series of Josh activities that, like, so... firmly cements what type of dude that is in my mind.
Gosh.
Like he goes and finds Evan. He's like, come on, bud, we need to have a talk. Anything you need to tell me? Coming at Evan with this like attitude of like, I'm ready for my apology now. Which Evan, to his credit, doesn't give him. Like Evan like doesn't give him the like, oh, I'm sorry, man, I should have come and talked to you first. Evan's like
Josh, he speechifies is the verb I want to use. He just says, you know, don't judge me without knowing me. Only my family knows me and God knows me.
God knows the truth, which I mentioned last week, like this idea of like, it's clearly like a rehearsed thing, right? Like, I'm about to go on this show. If this comes up, here are the four things that I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And this idea of just like, well, God knows the truth, so that's honest.
He says fictional account again.
It's a fictional account written by a troubled person, and you know, God knows the truth. So like, because I'm bringing my faith into it, like now that's unassailable. So like, God knows the truth. God knows the truth. God knows the truth. He says like four times. This
and
episode.
Evan
it's so,
says, "Quote, you're so polished.
Yeah,
you know all the right things to
Which
say."
Which is like, yeah, Evan, like slam dunk. That's exactly he has polished it with a. He's practiced it quite a bit.
And Josh is like, what are you saying? I would never put on a front. And Evan's like, if this is really not true, if she's really saying these things about you that are factually incorrect, why wouldn't you sue her for libel? At which point Josh is like, oh, I don't want to get involved in that. You know, God has a plan and I pray for her happiness and I have no reason to explain myself or engage in that. And Evan tells us, the viewer, he's like, you know, he just hits me with this ocean of words and all these inspirational quotes. And so it's not a volatile confrontation. It's not everybody. I think everybody was worried that Josh was like gonna punch Evan in the face or something. It wasn't like that. But it became clear they were not buddies.
Like, why wouldn't he tell, like, all he ever says is, oh, she's a liar and everything in that book is false and my family knows the truth and I know the truth. So that's what's up. Like, why not talk about like what happened? Like from your POV, instead of just being like, oh, she's lying.
Yeah.
He won't even say like, yeah, well, you know, we were engaged and it didn't work out. And,
make some kind of case for, you know, why it didn't work out from his
but
perspective.
But instead, all he comes at with is like this shit, which just makes me think 100% that book is canon.
Mm-hmm.
Nick also goes to talk to Amanda to kind of warn her. And this, like,
yeah.
Amanda seems like she's given pause at this point, but, like, we know it's...
Nick also says, quote, as a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's like, you know, and I hope it's not true, but...
And Amanda's like, well, now I should really think about it, but we all know where that rose is going.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Amanda makes it sound like maybe she's on the fence, but it's she's not.
Let's get to that rose ceremony.
So, Lace picks Grant. Izzy picks Vinny.
Loving it.
Emily picks Jared. Amanda picks Josh. And then Sarah is deciding between Daniel and Christian, and she picks Daniel.
Beautiful boy.
It'd be a very different show without Daniel.
I can't imagine, man.
Carly doesn't know who she's going to pick because she's not really vibing with anybody.
Yeah, she says she's either going to pick Nick, who she's like friends with, or Evan. And it's like, well, the latter one is just going to make that dude collapse in on himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Carly picks Evan.
Yeah.
And she says, like, oh, he knows, you know, I hope he knows.
This is a platonic
rose. It doesn't happen. And then Evan tells us, quote, maybe I can sneak back in.
Yeah, she closed the door on me, but she forgot to lock it.
Evan! Evan, you're the creepiest.
That's the creepiest way of referring to anything, bud.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be one of those things where, like, he said, she closed the door on me, but she forgot to lock it. Oh, my God, that sounds horrible. Don't use that in the episode, please. That makes me sound super creepy. Please don't use that. You won't use it in the episode? Thank you. Maybe that's giving him a bit of a doubt again.
Yeah, that's giving him a lot of credit. And so that means Christian's going home. And then Haley, who went on a date with Brandon, but Brandon didn't.
Or did she?
Didn't uncover the switcheroo. Haley decides to pick Nick because she thinks Nick deserves to find love.
Which Brandon is like, okay.
Yeah.
That sucks, but okay.
Yeah, so Christian and Brandon go home.
Oh, dude, I think Haley did that because now she'll never have to figure out a way to tell Brandon that she did a switcheroo, that she parent-trapped him. But good. that she who me? Her? To him. So hard on their date. They can't play that card again, which is such a, like... I feel like they blew the switcheroo parent trap.
No, I know. Stunt. I know. They should have done it when there were more stakes.
I know. You know, it'd be better if Emily or Haley goes on a date and then they go to the bathroom for like 10 minutes and then they part their hair on the other side and come out and then the other person's like, you switched, didn't you? And
they have to convince them,
like, no, super not. They also provided some hints on how to tell the difference between Haley and Emily, which I super duper appreciate in a very genuine way. I know the differences. I don't know who the differences belong to.
One of them has more...
Haley, I think, has like a little moles on the left side of her cheek. And her ears are pierced all the way up the ear, while Emily, I think, her ears are just pierced at the bottom of the ear. There's some clues. I need to memorize them, but it's super helpful for me to know.
They were on the after show, too, and since they're sitting right next to each other, I was, like, trying to look at both of them and identify which was which and lock it in, and I still didn't do it.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the rose ceremony. Let's
rose ceremony next day.
Yeah.
And this is when Kyla 001 arrives.
If you missed us talking about Ben's season of the first season we covered here on Rose Buddies, Kyla 001 or 002, we've decided she's actually in her like Terminator 2 like beach. Because if sand gets in the 001 model, that's the fucking... That's what happened. That's what happened.
That's why she didn't know until the last minute.
No, she made it to the beach area of Ben's season in the back. I forget where they went. But they went somewhere beachy and she showed up on the beach and she malfunctioned because the sand got in her gears and servos.
And that's why she was eliminated.
And then the Axeman has no place in his heart for malfunctions.
There's a point later in this week's episodes where she indicates that she didn't decide to come until last minute. Maybe they were really making some final updates to the model.
Filters and such for sand. To keep them out of her servos.
And again, for those of you that didn't listen to Ben's season, part of the reason that we indicated she was a robot is that she seemed like the most clearly engineered woman for the show.
Yeah. Emily refers to her as being perfect over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
In this episode. And it's like, we say that she's a robot in jest because she's literally She's literally flawless. She is without flaw. Say, mm-hmm. She was before. She had one flaw, which was sand. But now that's been worked out. Like, she is just a lean, mean human machine. She's not mean, though. She's perfect. A perfect temperament.
The one thing I appreciated, so everybody is exclaiming about how attractive she is. And then Lace sees her and turns to the people she's with and says, like, oh, yeah, she was the one that was supposed to be the Bachelorette, but then JoJo took over.
That is what happened. Like, she was supposed to be the Bachelorette.
It's weird because nobody has ever really talked about that or acknowledged that until Lace just casually said it in that episode, which I appreciated.
She did get dirty, though. I mean, JoJo was a good Bachelorette, but I don't know that Kayla would have been as... Kayla just would have been, like, the most, like, Bachelorette to ever Bachelorette.
Well, and you would have never questioned any of her decisions. Like, it just would have been like, oh, yes, no, that was clearly the right call.
Yeah, that's the...
Every single time. So Nick and Jared celebrate her hair. They talk about her hair together, which I
just
want
to shampoo her.
Yeah. And then Nick gets excited because Nick hasn't found a woman yet. And so he kind of talks to her.
Yeah.
And he makes a comment that we enjoy. He, like, compliments her outfit and says, wait, is it a dress or a gown?
That she's wearing a beach ball gown.
I enjoyed the distinction.
She's wearing a wedding dress on the beach, you dumb.
Now, Griffin, if I had to ask you, is there a difference between a dress and a gown? And two, what is that difference? How would you answer?
Well, I think a gown has to be, like, ankle length, right? Like, a gown has to... I don't think there's such a thing as, like, a knee-length gown, right? And I also think it's, like, the difference between suit and tuxedo, right? Like, a suit can be varying levels of formality, but, like, a tuxedo is, like, the most formal that it gets. Am I close?
I mean, here's the thing. I was under the assumption that there is... This is not, like, a dress or a skirt. There's no firm distinction that every woman knows.
I think I think a skirt is just, like, the bottom part.
Yeah, exactly. But I have met many men who were not aware.
Well, that's crazy. No, I just think gown is, like, it denotes formality.
This is, like, square rectangle, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you wouldn't call, for example, a sundress a gown.
No. I mean, you only refer to, like, wedding, like, a prom gown. Like, you wear gowns at prom and wedding and quinceañera.
And Oscar.
And your Oscar quinceañera.
So then Jared talks to Kayla, and they talk kind of admirably about each other and how well they've handled themselves on their respective seasons.
They are. We kind of realize they are essentially the other person from in relation to the seasons of The Bachelor and Bachelorette that they were on.
Yeah, they both get kind of burned.
They both make it fairly far. They're both, like, pretty good at just being the thing, right? Like, they're both good at being on the show.
Very likable.
Very likable, but, like, third place. I think Jared comes in third or fourth. Yeah,
Jared didn't even make it to hometowns.
Did he not?
Well, do you remember meeting any of Jared's family?
No, I would remember.
I definitely
would not remember that.
I think he gets left when they're abroad. They're in, like, Scotland or something.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And so they're talking. Emily's getting nervous because at this point, Emily has her eyes on Jared. Then Kayla picks Jared.
Jared goes to have a talk with him. Well, actually, he takes Kayla's side. He's like, and Kayla's like, oh, you're with somebody else. I get it. He's like, no, I definitely am going to date you. I just got to go break up with this other one.
Yeah. So Jared, when she asks him to go on the one-on-one date, which is what I meant by picks, he says, okay, well, hold on. Let me go talk to Emily.
Yeah.
And so he goes and is like, oh, Emily, you're so great.
You're so great. And you'll find someone someday. But have you seen her hair? It's amazing. I got to go.
Which was respectful. That's kind of the thing that everybody hopes for.
Yeah, sure.
And, but Emily sees this as an opportunity. Unfortunately, before Jared can kind of break it off, Emily's like, oh, hey, by the way, I feel really strongly and I feel like I haven't made that clear to you and I really, really like you. And then Jared's
anyway, go ahead and break up with me. Here we go.
And so Emily gets really upset and she's, like, complaining to Nick and she's just like, oh my gosh, I'm usually the one breaking hearts. I'm just not used to having my heart broken. And
you're on the wrong show statistically.
And Nick is kind of a great person to talk to. 'Cause he's like, hey, it's okay to be hurt. I have proposed to two women that have said no on national television. Like,
Nick has been actually really...
This is not forever.
I've really enjoyed that. Especially in these two episodes, Nick has been really, I feel like, really terrific.
Mm-hmm.
I've really enjoyed Nick on this season of BIP. He's kind of falling into that like audience surrogate role a bit.
He takes the role as kind of the franchise veteran very seriously.
Yeah.
So they go on a horse date. It's another horse date with Kayla and Jared. And they ride horses. They go to the ocean. They have coconut drinks. They really hit it off. Jared makes a reference to Ace Ventura.
Alrighty then, he says.
Yeah, not to Kayla. I think he's smarter than to use it in front of Kayla.
No, to Kayla he says, do not go in there. P-A-R-T-Y, because I gotta. They call me Cuban Pete.
Oh, see, now you're mixing.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Almighty. Bruce Almighty. Nice. He just says Bruce Almighty.
So while they're on this date and they're making out, we look back at the beach for some Daniel antics.
Some dantics. What's Dan up to?
Well,
hey, Dan, what you doing?
They're all hanging out on one of those beach mattresses. What are those called?
I think they're just called beach mattresses. Yeah.
Parabolas.
Parabolas. That's definitely, definitely it, baby. Yeah. Canopy.
Like a palapa.
Palapa.
Is that right?
I think palapa might be it, yeah.
I'm just remembering when Chris Harrison says, come join me in the rose palapa.
In the palapa. No, it's not. Then it's not a palapa.
Okay.
No one's sure what they're called, but okay. I'm sure it's just a beautiful, beautiful Spanish word.
Beach mattress.
Beach mattress is good. That's what it loosely translates to in the English tongue.
Vinny is laying on his back with his eyes closed. Daniel comes up with a straw.
Oh, these dantics are so rough.
He inserts water into Vinny's belly button. Vinny does not move.
No, I think Vinny's passed out.
And the Daniel has enough time to then...
extend his long, spindly Canadian proboscis.
Well, it's a straw.
You know what I mean.
And then he sucks the water back up. At which point Vinny does come to. Everybody enjoys it.
Good. There's so many stages that like make it so good. Like you see Daniel creeping up on Vinny, you're like, uh-oh, what's he gonna do? And then you see him pour water in Vinny's belly button, and it stays perfectly there. Like he does a perfect pour.
Yeah, it's just
so
the right amount.
That's two funny things. One, that he makes a little lake in Vinny, but then that he also perfectly so that the surface tension like holds it perfectly in Vinny's belly. And you're like, fuck, that's really funny, dude. That's a good prank, Daniel. That's, oh my god, there's more to the prank. And then you see him stick the straw, and you're like, oh, he's just going to go in and back out. But no, he goes in, and he sips it.
Yeah.
He sips it from his tum-tum.
And then he spits it out, but does confess that some of it
gets in.
Some of it stays in his mouth.
What was the thing that happened in the first episode of his season, though, where he says, you don't touch another man's belly button?
I think he poked Evan in the belly button.
He poked Evan's belly button. So this man definitely has...
He's got a belly button
thing. An umbilical fetish.
Maybe it's because he has such little body fat that he has no recess in his belly button.
He can't make his own tummy legs.
And he
legs.
Enjoys that other people do.
He's got to make it in other people's tummy legs.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what are you saying?
Tummy legs?
Tummy lakes.
Yeah, like a lake.
I like that.
Pond.
That's where Griffin and I go in the summertime.
To the tummy lakes.
Mm-hmm.
You've been to the finger lakes? Come to the tummy lakes. They're much bigger. I bet Daniel wishes we could put the finger lakes in the tummy lakes. That's his dream.
During this time, we find out that the established couples, so Vinny, Izzy, Grant, and Lace, all get to go on a date together.
Yes.
They're very excited about that.
They call themselves the Four Horsemen? What do they call themselves? The Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four.
That's different. Fantastic Four Horsemen is an apocalypse thing.
They had another nickname for themselves, too, as a group. It was like the group of like solid couples. I can't remember what it was now.
No one...
It's from a previous episode.
Not important.
So Jared gets back from the date, pulls Emily aside, and Jared says, you know, I know that I've been really reserved, and I do really like you, and it's not fair for me to lead you both on, but I feel like I should explore things with Kayla. And Emily gets really upset.
Again, and it's like, You went on the one day. Like, this is the thing about this show, is you, not even season to season, in this one season, you can see just how differently people handle stuff. Like, Daniel's about to go on another date with another person, and it is, like, not a big deal at all.
Yeah.
Not a big deal at all. Not even a little bit of a big deal.
Emily says some kind of nasty things, but in this kind of guileless way that Daniel shares, where she's just speaking from the heart, and she's just saying, you know, that she wants to be somebody's priority, and she's very kind of sad. And then she says that most of the guys here are way uglier than her. What was the context of that? She just starts kind of going.
I think she said
off.
Most of the women there were way uglier.
Okay.
I don't know.
But she also says that she's like better than most guys.
Yeah, there's
something.
Some shit. Like, she says some shit, and she was probably very upset when she said it, and you know, that's neither here nor there. But like, the thing is, she's a very, very attractive young woman who just like on this show that you keep getting dumped and stuff because it's a TV show about competitive dumping. Like, that's what it is. This is a dump con. It's the Olympics of dumps, and like, that's why this keeps happening. So like, it's hard for me to have an especially powerful emotional reaction to stuff like that. We got to burn this next. We got like an episode and a half to go, and we're 40 minutes in.
So Vinny and Izzy, Grant and Lace go on their date. They have dinner together. They kind of celebrate the relationship of Vinny and Lace in their conversation.
Not Vinny and Lace. Don't you dare break up the duos.
I'm sorry. Vinny and Izzy.
Well, Grant and Izzy would be good too. Gizzy, Grizzy, Grizzly. Grizzly and Vase.
And Izzy says that she's, quote, in it to Vin it, which I just, you know, that's worth mentioning.
Yeah, it's cute. This was a surprisingly very cute little scene between all of them.
They go to a Senior Frogs, which I think exists all over the country.
Not sure.
Because I'm pretty sure they had one in St. Louis.
But it seemed like a Banana Joe's, Pineapple
Yeah, there's
Tom
a
situation.
There's a foam. It's a giant bar. There's a foam party.
There's something called the Grind Pit.
Yeah, where the men wriggle around on ladies.
It was a lot. It was a lot to take.
And then
in.
The women get up on a bar to do some kind of body shot.
They're gonna do a Daniel tummy lake.
Just an icy, just a frozen lake.
A frozen lake. Yeah, they get doused by a woman whose face was blurred out.
Yeah, there's a woman who dumps a pitcher on them, and Lace gets very upset. And then Grant kind of steps in, and Lace feels very protected by him.
Things have really turned around for Lace, and I'm glad. Because that first episode, you think, like, Lace.
Lace, yeah, she's kind of rowdy, but Grant seems to understand that and not hold it against her.
Yeah, no, I'm not even that. I'm saying, like, it seemed like this season was going to go a very bad way for her. Mm-hmm. And there's like, there were some nice moments in here with her and Grant. I was.
Yeah, there's
pleased.
Something to be said for finding a person that kind of motivates you to be your best self.
Yeah, sure.
And that, I think, is what Grant is for her.
We're talking about two essentially fictional characters right now, but I was I was moved.
So meanwhile, while they're on the date, Carly and Sarah get this idea that they're going to hold their own couple date up in the Rose Palapa.
Oh, this was bad.
They're going to pretend that it's their apartment, and they're going to invite Daniel and Evan over for food and drink.
This was the scene where I was like, this is some high school stuff.
Yes.
Of like Carly kind of stringing Evan along a bit with the aid of the other two people there. Like, you know, you're a really cute couple. Daniel was hysterical during this whole thing. Like, Evan, you're such a good looking guy, isn't he, Carly?
He was, yeah. He's like, doesn't Evan look handsome tonight?
And Carly's like, yeah, I guess he does look handsome. But then there's this unintended cruelty to that, because Evan hears that and immediately like falls completely in love. Mm-hmm. The whole situation, I don't think there was a hint of malice being displayed by anybody there, but the things that were happening were so so bad and uncomfortable.
Yeah, Daniel tries to motivate them to kiss again. He's talking about their world record kiss, which Evan remembers in detail.
It's like, how long was that kiss? It was a while. And Evan was like, 1 minute and 44 seconds exactly. I'm like, oh man, he'll never forget how long that kiss was, I don't think. Which somebody pointed out in the Guinness, did we talk about this? The Guinness listing for this kiss. You can find the Guinness listing for this kiss, and it says they accomplished it on their second attempt. What's up, ABC? You got caught with your pants down, huh? Because they put you on blast. Where's the original cut? Where's the first cut, huh, ABC?
What happened that first time?
What happened that first time?
And you made them do it again.
You made them do it a second time and didn't show us the first, huh? That's pretty bad, huh? Anyway, this whole scene was just really uncomfortable. Like, Evan reading way, 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 way too much into things. Carly kind of stringing him on in a way that I don't think was, like, malicious or...
likes him in that she wants to, like, you know, be pals, and she's just going there too quick.
But us as the viewer, like, with this omniscient, like, perspective, like, we know that everything she's doing without being intentional, and I think of, like, another dude that she was, like, actually into came into the house the next minute she would drop this whole situation. Evan is, like, so into it, so fallen deep into it. But, like, at the same time, I'm not willing to absolve Evan because, like, holy shit, does he do some weird stuff. Holy shit, does he do some unhealthy shit.
Yeah, so they're kind of walking back from their evening, and Evan tries to go in for a kiss, and Carly says no to the kiss. She's like, let's just hug, let's not kiss.
At this point, my skeleton had, like, poked its head in the front door, just like, everything okay in here? No, everything's not okay.
And then immediately they go to Carly going back to her room with Sarah, and then they cut back and Evan is laying in bed and a producer is trying to shake him awake and he is not wakening.
Whether this is real or not, it is
awakening's not a word.
Yeah, sure. Whether this situation was real or not, this producer's performance was the fakey fakest shit I'd ever seen. Like, Evan,
wake up, Evan.
Evan, please wake up.
Evan.
Evan, please wake up. Please wake up, Evan. Please awakening. And Evan doesn't wake up, and so they call in Medico.
And Carly and Sarah are talking, and they're like, oh yeah, I think he's just really drunk.
He's really drunk. He wasn't super, wasn't like, he didn't see, maybe that dude just holds his, maybe I'm used to seeing like drunk people on this show get like buck wild, but Evan was not especially buck wild. But anyway, Evan doesn't wake up, so they call in the medical staff, and Carly and Sarah hear this and rush in there. And somebody on the medical team is like, he's wearing a cast on his foot. And, like, apparently he's, later we find
out. They don't address it. Yeah, we do not. We notice it for the first time as the viewer. The medical team does not address it.
Later we find out that he's taking medicine for his ankles, which is like, what is that? Does he have gout? What does that mean?
I think he sprained his ankle or something. I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay.
But when the medical team arrives, he is awake and alert.
And he's like, I don't know what happened, man. I don't know. I just was lying here and everybody was here. I'm okay. You can leave.
And the medical team is a woman who doesn't seem concerned about him, but feels like maybe he should have some observation.
Yeah. And so he gets a big grin on his face and Carly's like, please, no, please, please, no, please, no, please, God, no. She ends up staying.
But yeah, but here's the thing, and this is something that made everybody watching uncomfortable, but Evan is not the type to be like, you know, you better stay with me or I'm going to, you know, throw you down the stairs.
Right.
So she decides to stay, and then they start making out in bed. And then Carly tells us that he's weird, but maybe she's attracted to weird. So I don't know. There's a lot of confusion.
It's confusing. And like, it's not the type of thing. I mean, only God knows the truth. That's what I'm saying. but like, we don't know. If Carly's really into him, that's fine. But like, the tactics dog was busted. The tactics was bad. Bad tactics. But apparently an effective tactic, because guess what? It's going to happen again here in just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. So the next morning, Nick is on the beach alone. And we cut to Josh and Amanda. And
so many soft moans.
And there's a lot of suggestion via old-fashioned movie technique that a train is going into a tunnel, waves are going on rocks, there's a fountain erupting.
It's good fireworks. Shit. I mean, I'm so, you know, I've been critical of the edits. This one, Pizza Moon, come on. I could do that shit in Adobe Premiere. Pizza Moon. But this was good. This is good stuff.
Basically a lot of old timey suggestions.
But they were so completely like, they may as well just shown like a big dick. Yeah. Like this is about as like they were not abstracting it at all.
But it's just a suggestion of Nick continues to be alone and Josh and Amanda continue to be intimate together.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Kayla and Jared and they're playing cards together and they're just having a great time. And Kayla and Jared are telling us, you know, that they feel good about each other. And then there's ominous music. And somebody is coming down the stairs. And it is Ashley I.
Who wanted this? Who asked for this? Who in the audience wanted this? Who at ABC wanted this? Who wanted this? Who decided that this story still had some juice left in it? Let's keep just wringing her dry.
She shows up and tells Chris Harrison right away, I'm back in paradise because I'm still in love with Jared.
Bing, bang, boom. No dancing around it. Like, mm-hmm. No crazy ex-girlfriend. Like, you know, I didn't move to West Covina for Josh. like, just straight up. Like, I'm just in love with Jared. And I will claim him.
And she suggests that in the interim between BIP seasons that they have been in touch, that their relationship has been up and down, and sometimes they kiss, and sometimes they sleep in the same bed.
And this whole time I'm like, I shouldn't be hearing any of this. Mm-hmm. This relationship is badong, both bad and wrong, and so bad and wrong.
Does Chris ask what...
What base they got to. And she's like, well, I promised myself but I wouldn't second. Tell, but second base.
But second base.
There's a lot of debate about which one that is, but let's just say.
Yeah, well, how do you understand it? I understand it as like.
Number one's kissing, right? First base is kissing, uh-huh. I think. I think second base is over the close stuff. And I think third base you get under the close finally. And then fourth base is anal, I think. I don't know.
Oh, Griffin.
Fourth base is penetration.
I understood second base was hand stuff, just anything where your hands are involved.
Interesting.
And then third base is mouth to genital stuff.
See, I think that would be like an in the Parker. Oh. A lot of people don't know this though. There's a fifth base, the pitcher's mound.
Because after you cross home plate, you go back to the batter's mound.
You can go to the pitcher's mound. Nobody talks about this. It's like a baseball rule. You can just run to the pitcher's mound and you get an extra point.
And what is that sexually? Would you rather not say?
Yeah, I mean, I would rather keep that a secret between us.
Okay.
I don't want to tell. I don't want to air out my dirty laundry. I'm not Ashley I.
But we can talk about it later.
Yeah, we can talk about, you know. Nose play. Shit, no! Oh. Nose play is really great.
Okay, so that's the end of the episode. We had like a little thing with an iguana at the end of the episode.
Yeah, it was fine.
So we cut back next episode, Ashley talking to Chris. Ashley saying she's only going to cry three times.
To allow herself three cries. Okay, we should explain about Ashley. Her whole thing was her and she's desperately, desperately in love with Jared. Just so wildly in love with Jared, and she cries like very much. She was on.
She cried a lot on Crystal's season.
Crystal's sent her and another woman who is not well liked,
Kelsey,
home in the same 2-on-1 date. And it was one of the most memorable 2-on-1 dates probably ever. He literally strands them in the Badlands, and we get this helicopter view of both of them just like standing surrounded by like volcanic ash as Crystals flies away from them. It was, but yeah, her whole thing is like she's just a very emotional person. Oh, and she is a virgin, which like is you don't need me to tell you because the show will do it every 14 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. So Ashley comes down the stairs. Jared sees her, like, breaks into a cold sweat and looks very stressed out. And Jared immediately tells Ashley I, hey, I've been kind of, you know, I went out on a date with Emily. And then Kayla arrived, and I went on a date with Kayla, and I've been kind of hanging out with Kayla.
And immediately, Ashley reaches into her purse and pulls out a little card, and she punches out one of three cry redemption holes.
She kind of keeps it together a little bit, but then pulls the twins aside and then just falls apart.
Yeah. Which is weird because, like, Emily's there, and Emily was also very jilted by Jared. But
yeah, Emily kind of doesn't pull any punches and says, you know, I've never seen Jared so excited and assertive about
like,
a woman.
If you don't know Jared, like, his whole thing is he's just, like, not enthusiastic about anyone, like, any person. I didn't even think he was that enthusiastic about Caitlin.
I know.
But as soon as Kyla with that perfect hair and that sandproof chassis rolls up, like, everybody was, he was, like, excited in a way that we just have not seen before.
And this is when Ashley says that she was worried about Kayla. That Kayla was specifically the one that she was most worried about.
And that they had met before this. Mm-hmm. She didn't think Kayla was going to agree to be on the show, one thing. But she made Kayla promise that if she did go on the show, she wouldn't go after Jared. And if that's all true, it's the most banana cakes thing I've ever heard. To think, like, you're not going to be on this show, but if you do, you have to promise not to date the person
so
I like who doesn't
like me. Part of the
me.
Reason she's upset is that she feels so betrayed by her friend Kayla, who told her that she wouldn't go on the show. And
it's just the most, it's the wildest thing. But it's also like, you know, Ashley, you know. If you have to tell a person that, you know it's not meant to be with the person you like. If you have to tell this person, like, oh, you're totally his type and he would like you a whole lot, so you're not allowed to date him because he's mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ashley.
Like, Griffin and I are really in love and we're really married, but if he ever goes anywhere and Michelle Trachtenberg is there...
That's who you pull for me?
Yeah.
Really?
Didn't you used to have a thing for her?
I've never... No,
when you were
and
a
I've
teen?
Certainly never told you as much.
When you were, like, a teen, I thought you were into her. I thought she was on your
Not
teen list.
Really. I mean, like, Lacey Chabert, 1998, Lost in Space just came out. Like, that was sort of more... of my, like, age-appropriate, like, crush.
Yeah, I couldn't remember her name.
Lacey Chabert?
Yeah, I could remember Michelle Trachtenberg. I couldn't remember Lacey Chabert.
No, not Michelle Trachtenberg. She's a lovely woman. I'm sure she's fine.
Okay, so you're saying I do need to worry about Lacey Chabert, though.
No, because I'm married to you. You know how I do.
I need to call Lacey Chabert right now and say, if Griffin goes anywhere without me, you need to not
but
be
in this,
there.
But if we're doing the Ashley I. Jared scenario, this would be, I am super, like, I would have to super not be into you. Like, that's the scenario that we're at, where Jared is not into Ashley I, because they've had a few chances at this, and it hasn't worked out yet. And so, like... I don't know why this keeps happening. I don't know why I get sometimes you just get that little thing in your brain and it's like, well, it's that person or bust. I don't know why she keeps trying this thing out. And I genuinely don't know why ABC keeps subjecting us to this. It's not even dramatic anymore. It's not interesting because you know exactly what the fuck's going to happen each time. And it's not entertaining anymore. It's not even cruel. I don't even think it's cruel. It's just nothing. She's going to show up and he's not going to be into it and he's going to tell her in a very calm, plain way and then she's going to get super upset about it.
I think they like her tears. I think her tears give the show strength.
But they have oceans of them. It's nothing. It's not anything anymore. It's obviously very sad for Ashley Ide that this is true, but it's not anything anymore because it's one of your four stories and you keep fucking driving it into the ground. Nobody wants to see this anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. It's not like anybody out in the world is rooting for Ashley, I, and Jared to finally make it work.
No, there's nobody. I know the face of so many Tumblr communities at this point. Nobody's shipping these two on the planet. There is no holdout who's like, I still think Ashley, I, and Jared are going to. There's nobody. There's nobody. There are more people shipping, like, Jorge and Carly than there are...
There is further evidence, though, that they like her tears, because a la Claire, she gets the treatment of, I'm talking to a producer, but we're going to make it look like I'm talking to an animal.
Which she actually says, like, you know they're going to turn you into a raccoon when this is over, right?
Yeah, in this example, it is a parrot.
Yeah. And the parrot says some very mean
things.
Yeah,
the parrot
Kayla.
Starts getting a little salty, which yeah, I didn't think was necessary. Like that at all.
Yeah, this whole situation is just so, like, everybody in the group is talking about how they're exploiting Ashley, which is true, but, like, every single human being involved in this production, including Jared and Ashley, knew exactly what was going to happen. Jared maybe didn't know. They maybe didn't tell Jared that Ashley was going to roll up. And they apparently didn't tell Ashley that Kayla was there.
Well, later in the episode, Jared does say, I knew this was going to happen. Like, he does seem to seem...
Well,
like,
he knew in sort of the cosmic sense.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's another thing where it's hard for me to feel this, like, emotional... sorrow for this person because you knew.
Well, you're not supposed to feel bad for Ashley I. You're supposed to feel like...
I do feel bad for Ashley. The thing I feel bad for Ashley I about is that she's sweet and she's funny because she goes on this date with Daniel and it's like cute and nice and funny and I think she's a nice person, but this is like, that's who you are to the TV show, and I don't think there's any way to change that unless you roll up and keep your cool.
So, let's get to that date.
Okay.
So, Kayla thinks that Ashley is just going to ice her out, but Ashley actually pulls Kayla aside. And Kayla says, I know that you didn't expect to see me. And Ashley's like, yeah, you told me you weren't coming. And Kayla says, oh, I actually just decided to come like 2 days before they started filming.
They finished the augmentation.
And Ashley's like, but you said that Jared wasn't your type, you know, why did you say that? I don't really believe what you're saying, that you didn't come here for him. And Kayla's like, well, but then I talked to him and I realized that he was my type.
And that was a completely bizarre request that you made me agree to.
No kidding. So Ashley feels backstabbed by Kayla. And Ashley's like, maybe I should just go home. Maybe I should just leave. And Jared's like, no, you should stay. You should just have fun. You should go out on this date with this date card you have and have fun with somebody else. And Jared sells Daniel because Daniel is up for grabs.
Essentially.
And a fun
person. It seems like things have cooled between him and Sarah a bit.
Yeah, which is so weird because Sarah sent Christian home and then immediately there was nothing with Daniel.
Yeah. Really, and I think, I think it's because they're the only, like, one of a couple mature human beings at this thing are just like, you know, it would seem like it was going, but it doesn't seem like it's actually that great a thing. So let's just, you know, have some fun and see some other people.
Yeah.
That's my headcanon because the show didn't spend a whole lot of time exploring that subject.
So Ashley goes to approach Daniel. Daniel is posed on one of those beach mattresses.
Made his body ready.
and reads the card to Daniel. And there's something about making a sacrifice. And Daniel's like, oh, what, like sacrificing a person? And Ashley's like, oh, well, I wouldn't want to do that.
No, he says sacrificing like a baby calf. And she's like, no, yeah. I wouldn't want to do that. And he's like, okay, well, I'll go on this date with you because I like to eat meat.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. She's really getting a crash course on the metaphor game of Daniel.
So, yeah, Daniel just goes over and tells Sarah, hey, I'm about to go on this date. And Sarah's like, all right.
Have a good time.
Yeah. And Nick tells us, the viewer, I'm not sure what happens when you put an alien and a virgin together, which, you know, Nick, thanks, Nick, for breaking it down for us.
Yeah.
And so they go on this date. There's a very active, loud storm going on. And Daniel is fascinated by the fact that Ashley is a virgin and keeps asking questions about
Daniel loses virginity. Maybe a few Daniel points in my mind with some of the bad, bad things that he says about how he would like to deflower her. He does go on like a fun sort of 5 minute long freestyle jazz thing about Canadian sex terminology. Like, he would like her to have some of his Canadian bacon and then his Canadian sausage with bacon and then his Canadian bacon with sausage, just like every sort
Canadian
of
Canadian poutine.
And then Canadian poutine, which I don't even think he knows what that means.
And then he does the fun thing about how he explores sex with men on Fridays.
So you're a virgin. She's like, yeah. And he's like, you never had sex. And she's like, no. And he's like, you don't swing both ways, which is like,
that's a weird
leap
yeah,
from the last
thing
one.
To
but
go to,
no,
yeah.
She doesn't. He's like, because I do on Fridays. She's like, what do you do on Fridays? Like, yeah, you know, on Fridays, just like what anything goes. And he's like, she asks if he has his eye on anybody in the house for when Friday rolls around. And he's like, yeah, Nick.
Yeah, he's duh. Like, Nick's got my eye.
Nick's got my eye.
And then she kind of stumbles for a minute. She's like, wait, are we joking right now? Because Daniel is completely playing it like totally flat.
But at the same time, they're both like, she's laughing and enjoying the day. And yeah. Daniel actually gets into it. Daniel's like, so you're like in love with Jared. What's that all about? Yeah. Oh yeah, he doesn't want you. That's not great. You're just kind of looking for a replacement then? Who are you thinking about? And she's like, well, right now, you, Daniel. And they have like, I'm super into it. Like,
yeah, they have a fun time.
They have a fun time, interrupted by a pretty just wildly... I would say maybe off color ceremony, if you want to call it that.
Okay. So let me say one thing. Anytime that on this show, when a man and woman go to a exotic location, there is usually some kind of cultural experience they have.
Right. But this was like a community theater company that were dressing up in like straight up Aztec. What's the, I'm looking for the right terminal. Like, ancient Aztec, I guess, gear, and then they come in and they pick up Ashley and they say in English, virgin sacrifice, and grab her and run out of the room. And the whole thing is just like, eesh, guys.
What's weird is that's the end of the date.
That's the end of the date, but then the most amazing thing happens, which is Daniel just kind of sits there, sees her get, you know, taken away, and he goes, he shrugs his shoulders and leans over and starts eating off her plate.
I will tell you, on the after show,
oh no,
Ashley I says that was not actually the end of the date, that then they hung around and danced with the Aztec performers.
If they had shown that, I think I would have cut them maybe a little bit more slack, but as it turns out, like, she just gets abducted.
Yeah, she just gets carried away, and that's the end of the night.
In an Aztec sacrifice. It was bad stuff. That was kind of a low point for me. The whole date was so cute, though. The two of them are so cute. That's good stuff. They're both like little ducks, like little baby ducks. I just wanted to take care of each other.
Yeah, the word that I kept like coming to mind with Daniel is just guileless. You know, like, He's charming in that he seems so unable to put on any airs about anything.
We had somebody suggest that Daniel is, quote, one of those bigs, and that he got bigged by a fortune teller robot, and that he's a child in a big man's body because he seems to have like a basic understanding of women and how they operate, and he has this like false bravado that he immediately backs down from at the slightest provocation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got like a very juvenile sense of humor that doesn't seem like he's immature. It just seems like that's...
I want to say that... I'm going to fact check this later. I think that was Benjamin White who said that in the Facebook group. It's very funny and probably true. I think he's cursed.
So next morning, Ashley's still crying.
Harder, which is sucks.
Well, yeah, just a lot of crying. And then it's time for another woman to arrive. And someone named Jen arrives from Ben's season. Now, did you recognize her?
Do you not recognize her?
No.
Those moonlight boobs.
Oh.
And I'm very, very sorry that is how I've just referred to her. Did we talk about that on the show?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah, they've heard it before.
Okay, good. Because I'm thinking about it now, and it's a bit off color.
So that was like the only thing that was memorable about her was that she wore a dress. She wore a dress where the moonlight really highlighted her.
Not just her features. It was like fluorescent paint.
And
like,
Ben seemed to just be fixated. Ben was like fixated.
Transfixed. Yeah. On it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, she didn't make it very far.
She didn't. I think she got booted first episode.
So everybody, again, this is kind of how the show works, in that anytime anyone arrives, everyone's like, ooh, who's that? Let's say some nice things about how attractive she is. And there's a funny scene where the twins try to catch her up on who's with who.
Oh, it's fantastic. And also great because you don't need to watch the rest of the show. You can just watch this one scene and get a full rundown.
All these little bubbles of faces pop up as they give the whole backstory on who's been with who and who's still with who and that kind of thing. Nick makes it clear that she is, quote, stunning, and that she's going to be his new conquest. And Daniel
is so good, dude. Daniel's like, I will pay you money to take me on this date with you. And she's like, you'll pay me money? He's like, yeah, but they're Canadian dollars, so they're not going to be worth a whole lot.
Because she reads the date card and says that it's a yacht date, and that and Daniel's like, oh, boats. I love boats, in his Canadian voice.
Boots. He calls them boots.
Yeah. And so then it's...
That was a cheap joke. Hi, everybody. This is Griffin McElroy. That was a cheap joke, and I apologize for it, because it also didn't make any sense. And it was offensive to my Canadian friends, and I apologize from the bottom of my heart, and I hope in time you can forgive me.
Should I have called you on that?
You really should have. Like, I'm actually worried about, like, where we are at in the discourse.
I feel like there's a part of the show where I just let you kind of say
just
stuff
walk all
like
over
that.
The Canadian flag.
And I just kind of don't respond to it. Am I?
You're part of the problem.
I'm an enabler.
You're definitely.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'll try and be better about that. And so it seems like Jen is, her choice is between Nick and Daniel. Because nobody's ever going to want Evan.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to want Evan. It's between Nick and Daniel. And Nick puts it on the table, says, you know, I'm intrigued by you and I would love to go on this date. And she picks him.
Yeah. Is this when we get round two of Evan?
Yes.
Okay.
We get the hint that Carly's in on it. Carly is speculating, saying, would Evan have faked an illness to get me to stay with him? And Sarah is like, I mean, if so, maybe that's kind of romantic, isn't
Which
it?
She's like, no, I wanted to reach into that. Carly said something along the same lines. Like, no, it's not romantic. It's
like there's part of Carly that's like, he's so desperately into me and I almost am charmed by it.
That would be fine if that desperation was not met with some shit that's just so bad.
And so Evan tells us he's taking some medication for the ankle, and when they come to check on his ankle, it's swollen and red and hot, and they want him to go to the hospital. And Evan at first is like, I don't know that I really want to go to the hospital. But then he like recognizes he could spend some quality time with Carly.
This is the perfect opportunity for a date. And it's like, oh, you're not even hiding it. You're not even hiding it then.
And he says, quote, Carly may be the only medicine I need. And then winks.
This is where we get to see the worst IV placement in medical history. You don't think?
No, I'm wondering, like, did they have a producer put on scrubs and pretend to put an IV
that's
in?
The only thing I could think. If not, or maybe it was probably one of those doctors that didn't have to take the Hippocratic Oath, so they do a little bit of harm before they get in there and do their business. Because we got ourselves a gusher here, folks. They were doing it in the back of a...
They're in an ambulance.
They're in an ambulance, but still... it was a gushy mess on this arm, folks.
And I granted, I don't look when they're putting a needle in my vein, but when I do turn back to my arm, it is not covered in blood.
It's usually not covered in 2 pints of my own blood.
Yeah. So they go to the hospital. Carly goes with him. Evan, because he's a little doped up, is more relaxed than maybe he's ever been, and Carly actually kind of enjoys his new relaxed demeanor. She lets the nurse in the room lets her look in Evan's ear. It's like, I've always wanted to look in an ear. And so she looks in.
I thought this was going to be like a, oh, there's no brain in there joke. But no, she just wanted to look
in that ear.
Yeah. It's her belly button fetish. It's her Daniel belly button fetish.
And she seems to start to rationalize. She's telling us, she's saying, you know, I'm really, what I'm looking for is just a good person. And Evan is really a good person. So maybe I'm back on the Evan train.
Choo-choo, yeah. She says.
And so Jen and Nick are on their date. Jen says that she's, quote, intrigued by Nick. People love using that word, intrigued.
Well, I think it's because the TV show makes them pretend to be very, very in love with each other. And so they use just sort of the softest words they can find.
They're on a yacht together and they're hoping to see dolphins. And Jen, and maybe I wrote this down incorrectly, so let me know. Did Jen say that dolphins are, quote, the only mammals to have sex for pleasure?
I have to admit, I don't remember much about their date, which probably means I was paying attention to something else while we watched it separately. Because I watched this today while you were at work. I don't remember that, but I don't think I was watching.
The thing that I thought was funny is that she didn't say, if I wrote this down correctly, she didn't say the only mammals besides humans.
But not only that, even that would not be true, because there's monkeys that bone just crazy.
She said it kind of like it was like a line that she used sometimes to let men know that she was like, you know, she was willing to talk about sex. And Nick is just like, oh, that's really interesting.
Okay. It is interesting.
So then they go on the beach, and the beach is covered in crabs.
They are just attacked.
And they are trying to, like, sit and talk on the beach, and there are just crabs everywhere, and Nick is having to fling them away left and right.
And they both die because of the crab bites.
And they lay down in the sand and kiss in the surf, and there are more crabs, and there's just lots of crabs.
Just so many crabs, y'all. Can I say something, though?
Yeah.
There were a lot of crabs. This season has a lot of crabs on it, and I hear people mentioning, like, why are there so many crabs? And, like, that's a good question. Is anybody looking into that? Because there's a ton of crabs this time.
Yeah, I don't remember this many crabs.
Don't remember this many crabs ever. There's 100 million crabs. There's too many. Too many crabs, I'll say it.
Maybe it's some kind of weather pattern brings
El
in more.
El Nino. I hear a lot of people talking about that. I've never figured out what it is.
You know what El Nino means in Spanish?
What's that?
The crab.
There's just one of them? There's a big crab under the ocean that's commanding his legions.
And it changes the weather.
Damn that El Nino. He's making everything so hot all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least we got something we know we can kill to stop this global warming thing. And we're fucking the best at that. Got to get down in that ocean, find him.
You're really good at preparing crab, too.
Oh, you know I am.
So
we got our friend Evan. We last beach trip we went on, me and Justin, we were walking around.
We have a friend that is also named Evan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Not at all similar to the Evan on the show.
No, maybe the exact human opposite of this Evan. Just imagine that person. Mm-hmm. You just run up and grab crabs off the beach. That's what we need.
Yeah, he grabs them with his hands. That's the thing. So we need him to solve global warming.
To solve global warming. Only you can do it, Evan.
And so the date seems okay. They seem to be into each other, but it seems to be primarily based on attraction.
Sure.
It's not like they have any kind
of wrong with that.
Deep chats. And so now we cut back to the island where they all are. And I don't think it's actually an island. I just called it that.
No, it's not.
Ashley's still crying.
She has to have used up her three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kayla's starting to get worried. And Kayla tells us, like, the viewer says, Ashley loves without hesitation, which I just thought was such a poetic way to describe what Ashley does.
Yeah, but also if you break down what that means, I don't think it's an especially flattering
observation. No, it's not, but it's just a very graceful way of describing it.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, she's perfect. She can perfectly...
002 is more poetic than
absolutely,
the original.
Absolutely, yeah. The language centers of her AI cortex have been...
So it's cocktail party time, and Kayla and Jared are talking, and Kayla's like, you know, I just want to make sure that our love doesn't end up one-sided. You know, I've been kind of reserved, and I just want you to know that I'm worried, like, frankly, that I'll end up like Ashley I. And Jared's like, well, honestly, I do want you to open up a little bit more, but, you know, go at your own pace, and I'll follow suit. They're having very adult conversations, which is promising. He tells us, the viewer, he's going to give his rose to Kayla, which we don't really need to hear that. But they do kind of tease, like, oh, maybe he'll give it to Ashley I because he feels bad for her or something. But we're pretty sure it's Kayla. And Nick is talking to Ashley I, and this is a big win for Nick. Nick is really just not...
Savage.
Yeah, just not being patient with her at all. Says, didn't you mentally prepare yourself for this? This isn't love. This is obsession. You will never be with Jared.
You will never be with Jared. You will never be with Jared. And it was like cruel in a way, but like nobody said that to her, I don't think,
no,
on the show
I know.
Before.
I know. Well, the tendency when somebody is like that lovelorn to be like, oh, well, maybe one day, like, oh, maybe. Seems like there's really something there. Nick is not going to be that person. And Ashley is just kind of like, what do you mean? What? Just not taking it in. And so then she wants to talk to Jared at the cocktail party. And Jared Jared is just starting to get impatient too. Like famous nice guy Jared is even just like, why are you making this about me? And she's like, oh, it's not about you. And he's like, didn't you expect to date other guys? Why would you come here if you didn't? And she's like, oh, I just wanted to get over you. But now that you're so into somebody, I can't be here and not be with you while you're with somebody else. And I don't know. Anyway, she goes on and on. And then it's a cliffhanger.
Yeah, Jared threatens to leave the show.
Yeah.
And that is the cliffhanger.
Yeah, Jared's like, I don't even want to be here right now. Like,
and then in the teaser for next week, like, they kind of make it seem like Jared thinks about leaving.
Yeah, Jared makes some big move or something.
In that teaser, we also get, like, some hints that big couples are going to break up in the next episode.
Yeah.
See some trouble in Vizzy Dice. So we'll see what happens then. These episodes are going so long, and I think it's nobody's fault except for ABC's fault, because they keep showing us 3 hours of television content every time. Was there anything that came out in, like, a minute or less that happened in the After Paradise that's worth discussing?
Ashley's dad was on.
Oh, boy.
They say, like, Ashley cries a lot. We're going to speak to a doctor about maybe why she behaves the way she does, and they pull up a doctor on screen who happens to be her father, who is a doctor.
That can't feel
and
good.
And he's like a funny guy. He makes some jokes about how passionate she is. She also suggests that there's a lot more ways that Jared has led her on, that he's like sent her flowers on her birthday and always made a point to be really nice to her. And so she feels like they've met each other's parents, apparently.
Okay.
So she seems to say, like, if only you guys knew what I knew, you wouldn't think I was crazy.
All right.
And that's about it.
Okay.
So that was this week.
How much more BIP do we get? I really wish they were just my only thing, just space it out, because we're gonna be like at the end of September and BIP will be over, and it's like, you could have made it last twice as long. I feel consuming maybe a little bit too much BIP right now.
One option we have, and we haven't figured it out yet, somebody in the Facebook group says that Canadian Bachelorette starts in September.
I've heard that,
and they made it seem like maybe we can watch episodes on the website. I don't know if that's true, but that would be a nice
time. If we can do that, that would be a dope way for us to keep this thing going.
It would be a very nice time. Quite literally, I imagine everybody is very nice.
Yeah, and funny.
Yeah.
Just a lot of folks just aspiring to be on Second City or
just
something.
Kind of like an episode of Kids in the Hall or SCTV.
That's all we expect from you, Canada.
Yeah.
Just be as funny as Kids in the Hall.
I want to thank the person that sent us the napkins.
Oh, yeah.
So we got some very nice cloth napkins with some rosebuds on them.
They're from Picking Daisies.
Yeah.
Kay and Dee Dee. I hope I'm reading. Do you want to take a stab at the name? You know I can't read cursive. It's like another language to me.
Well, there's definitely Kay.
Kay, your name is easy enough to read. I think it might be Dee Dee.
Yeah. Either way, their website is pickingdaisies.com. And the napkins are lovely. They're cloth napkins. They suggested that we could use them for our parties, which we will do because they are beautiful.
Yeah. No, thank you. For the name. Our PO box is PO Box 66639, Austin, Texas 78766, if you want to send us anything. Otherwise, if you just tell a friend about the show.
Sorry, the episode's late.
Sorry. Yeah, I planned it bad. Yeah, otherwise we'll see you next week, next Wednesday morning. Fingers crossed. Until next time, I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Rachel McElroy.
When you're ready. Final rose. Stay with us on this journey of joy. Spoiler alert. She ends up with Soulja Boy. Right.